And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Congratulations to those who have won the great battle of in Dakota. We're going to chalk that up to the Native people who rallied all over the continent and to the veterans who decided they should go there as well. I understand, listeners, that their next stop are those veterans who you could have heard on this show last week talking about their support for clean water and respect for people's rights. They're headed for Flint, Michigan, so that's good news. On the Taylor Report today, we're going to speak to journalist Steve Sahuni in Syria. We're also going to speak to Mr. Gahundi, a politician, a leader of a political party in Rwanda, who has been stopped by the authorities in Nairobi from boarding an airplane. We're going to find out why that was. And then we're going to speak to Stephen Gowans, an authority on international politics. I think we might be joined at this moment by Steve Sahuni. Are you there, sir?
Hey, good afternoon, Phil. Are you doing okay?
Good afternoon to you. I know we kept you up late, but what is going on in your part of the world is very important. You are in Syria. You're one of the best journalists we've encountered on the subject of events there. And so we need to ask you some questions. We would like to talk to you, maybe just give you a heads up for about 15 minutes. But first of all, just give us an overall assessment. We're hearing of a lot of progress on the military front. What's your assessment of the basic situation in Aleppo right now?
The Syrian army and his allies on the ground with the Russians have been doing big, important progress on in the East Aleppo, where the terrorist groups have been controlled for over 5 years. In East Aleppo today, just a few hours ago, numbers came out from inside Aleppo. Over 30 neighborhoods have been freed. About 70% of the of East Aleppo has been freed. The Syrian army is doing big progress. We can see that the Syrian army and the Russians and the allies on the ground is really hurting the terrorists. Mm-hmm. From what happened today in the Security Council, America and Europe is really being their friends on the ground. The terrorist groups who they are funding have been losing, so they want to stop the fire. They want to do a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. But the Russians and the Chinese, they veto. So that will show you that the Americans and the Russians the Americans and the Europeans and the Gulf are really in a bad shape. Mm-hmm. for them asking a ceasefire. Also, the terrorist groups till now have been shooting mortar missiles on the citizens and civilians of Aleppo. Many people have died in the last few days. They've been doing this for the last 4 years. They shoot these mortar missiles just on civilians. Like, they don't shoot it at places where it's been, let's say, a military checkpoint or a military. No, they just shoot it anywhere. And 99% of the time, they're hitting citizens and civilians. Yes. Today, the terrorist groups who are funded by the United States and Europe and Saudi Arabia have launched a few mortar missiles that hit a Russian hospital field that caused a Russian doctor to die because of this mortar missile, and a few have been injured. I also want to say that the Syrian army and the allies on the ground have took over the area where the water pump used to give the city of Aleppo water. Before the Syrian army took that, the terrorists, they used to blackmail the citizens of Aleppo and used to shut off the water and forbid them from water. Today, the Syrian army have taken over that area. It's called Sleiman al-Halabi. The Syrian army took it over. That will show you how dangerous and how non-hearted, like they have no heart, these people, carrying off water, shooting missiles on hospitals, on schools, on civilians. Also a big victory today in the field in Aleppo, that the Syrian army took over the eye hospital. It's one of the biggest eye hospitals in the Middle East. Of course, it's half destroyed, but the terrorist groups used to use it as a prison to arrest civilians and kidnapped soldiers from the Syrian army on the ground. Today, the Syrian army took it over. That's a big victory. People are leaving the East Aleppo. The civilians, and are going to the areas where the government is. The Russian and the Syrian government are giving them they're opening them, have schools and houses open for them, giving them food, medical care, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, after big percentage of East Aleppo has been freed, people have been leaving Latakia and Tartus and the other areas and going back to their homes. A lot of businesses have shut who used to be owned by Aleppo's. They are shut now and they're going back to their homes to open their business, reopen their business in their home in Aleppo. I just wanted to say that Aleppo is the economical capital for Syria. Used to produce everything that Syria needed before the crisis. So all these people are going back to their houses, opening their factories, opening their shops, and that's big progress. How it looks like till now that the war in Syria, it's almost over, almost finished.
Mm-hmm.
This is what on the field it shows you. Tell me.
It's very important. I want to check. I want you to speak to a couple of issues that are being talked about here, because there's a falsification, I have to tell you frankly, in my opinion, of the events in Aleppo. And the New York Times ran a story in which they said that leaflets were being dropped on East Aleppo threatening to annihilate people. And are there leaflets being dropped? Who's dropping them? What do the leaflets say?
The Syrian army have thrown to the terrorists, asking the terrorists, throw your weapons, surrender yourselves, and let the civilians go. The terrorist groups they're using the civilians in East Aleppo as hostages. They are not letting them to let go. They're not letting them go. They are asking to go out. The civilians in East Aleppo, they want to leave the area. They want to be in a safe place. But the terrorists are not letting them. Also, something happened. Something's happening in the East Aleppo. One man who left from East Aleppo to the government side said that we had no food and water. We had no food and water.
Yes.
And when we went to the terrorists and asked them for food, they said, we don't have it. But then big storages of food was captured in the terrorist group areas. So the terrorists, they were forbidding the civilians from having the food. And they were giving the food between themselves and between their families and themselves.
Yes.
But the normal civilians, they were being forbidden from food. So that's also a big
big part of that.
That will show you how, big part of the problem, and that will show you how bad they are.
Yes. We're speaking to Stephen Sahuni. By the way, he is the editor of La Syrian News. Did I get that right? La Syrian News Agency.
Yes.
And,
yes,
of course, you can find him online, his writings. Global Research has recently published an article by Stephen about some of the mercenaries who have come to join the fighters there, the jihadists. Stephen, there are here they're not reporting where the people are fleeing to. We understand now. It's gone from a kind of a trickle in the early stages of the fighting. Now bigger numbers are coming. Do you have any idea what kind of – any estimates of how many people are leaving East Aleppo and where they're going?
The people in East Aleppo and the civilians are in East Aleppo are leaving in the thousands, and they're going to the areas where the Syrian army has – Look, East Aleppo is surrounded from all areas.
Mm-hmm.
And every few kilometers, every, let's say, 20, 30 kilometers, the Syrian army has a pass, a safety pass for the civilians. And if you want to, and if you're a civilian and you want to go, and if you want to go to the safe area, you go through that pass. You go to that passing, and it's the Russians and the Syrians together. So they're going to the areas. They're going to the areas where the Syrian government is controlled. And I'm not gonna say in the hundreds of thousands, no, because that's what I'll be exaggerating. But huge numbers are leaving as they can, because a lot of times when they want to come out, the terrorists, they start shooting at them. And many times the terrorists have shot at the civilians and killed them to forbid them from not coming, leaving out. I just wanted to say something and explain something is about the propaganda that the Western media is making about a seven-year-old using
tweet. Oh, yes, I want to hear about that. The Globe and Mail relies on a seven-year-old girl who is tweeting from East Aleppo, and she's an authoritative source because she's a child. She couldn't tell a lie. And her mother wouldn't be helping. That's my understanding. Go ahead.
Yeah, but let's be realistic. Which 7 years old, knows how to use Twitter, which if it's true what they're saying, it's a mother and her daughter only. How can they have that high quality videos they're videoing themselves?
Yes.
No 7 years old can just use and then how are they getting the internet? There's no internet in Aleppo. So where are they getting the internet? The only internet they have, the only internet they can get is from by satellite. And that not only military people have it, or the terrorists have it.
Well, she might be a captain in somebody's army. Stephen, well, apropos of that, the way the Globe here, that's our national paper, they put it, they said, well, you know, it can be done. But then they also say, we don't have any journalists and no one can report from East Aleppo. Yet this child, 7 years old, and her mother get high quality tweets, as you point out, or whatever it is. And, well, why don't they then go to an adult who is a journalist and go ahead and do professional work? This is like some kind of scam, isn't it?
It is a scam, because if any TV station in the world, they want to go to Syria and show what's really happening, you just need to get a visa. You just need to get a visa from the Syrian government, and they will let you go inside of Syria, and they will, and you will see, and they will, and you will go all over wherever you want.
Yes,
of course, but you'll have security forces protecting you.
Yes, and but because even if you were. Even if you were in jihadist territory, if there are grown people there, women and men, who wish to make reports, if it's true that the seven-year-old could do it, obviously they could do it. So why are we dealing with a seven-year-old story? It just seems to me so silly.
Yeah, it is silly. And that's what, if you open YouTube and you say and you write the girl's name, like, you see there's something fishy. The high-quality videos, then the tweets. Then, no. There's something fishy about it.
And the mother and the child have no opinion about jihadists, by the way.
Yeah.
Very curious. Apparently, it's a little Berkeley there where they live.
But they did find... one of the tweets show... they digged it up and to see where they are from, where are they tweeting from, which area they're tweeting from. And one of the tweets, they showed that they were on the front line. Well, that will show you if it's true, a seven-year-old a mother.
Yeah, no, that's no place for a mother and child.
To be on the front line. Also, that will show you what it looks like. It looks like it's a new propaganda done by the American media and the Western media, with the Gulf media, to try to make the Syrian government and the Russian government to look bad, as they want to make them look as the murderers.
Yes, yes. The entire story here is being... they're sort of in disbelief. They really don't know how to report now in East Aleppo because they were counting on the jihadists holding on and they're resupplying them through Turkey. Now they seem to have a problem. I guess our last comment I want to get from you about this all is I saw John Kerry, the Secretary of State of the United States. He sounded like a jihadist himself because he said, well, if Aleppo, East Aleppo is captured from the – he didn't call them jihadists, captured. He said the war won't be over. He sounds like a commanding officer on the other side.
Well, they've been funding and giving the orders to the Saudis to fund these groups for the last 6 years, and they are the cause of administration are the cause of the death of hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, he's gonna be depressed, and he's gonna be really sad because his people are losing on the ground.
Yes,
the importance of Aleppo, that Aleppo is the second biggest city in Syria. And mm-hmm. as I told you, it's the economical capital. So if the Syrian government have control of Aleppo, gets control of Aleppo, then they'll have over 60% of Syria in their hand. They already have the capital, Damascus, and they're doing big progress there. Then you have off the coast. Then you have Homs, and that's mm-hmm. a huge area. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Aleppo, so you only have then two small cities, and that's Idlib and Raqqa. And getting those are easy because they're all surrounded from government territories. So, no, everyone knows whoever wins Aleppo, he wins the war on the ground. And then it's just less than 30 days, and the Obama administration is going to come out, and the Trump administration will be in, and let's see. He might be more realistic and sit with the Russians and discuss.
Let us hope
the situation.
Let's hope so. It's well, Steve Sahuni in Syria. We thank you very, very much. I hope people will follow your writings. I'm glad to see you in Global Research. It's a Syrian. You are a Syrian American. I should tell our listeners, and people can go to La Syrian. And news agencies. Thank you very, very much, Stephen.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.